Okay, well, I'd like to have just a word of prayer here for Sister Annie. Some of you were here and just witnessed what happened there just before service. She was having some medical troubles there. And so, you know, looking at probably something along the lines of a TIA, a transient ischemic attack, or some sort of a mild stroke. So just have a word of prayer here for her. She's at the hospital now, and Steve is with her, and she's being checked over. Dear Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the medical system we have in this country. Lord, we thank you that we can call an ambulance, like we just did, and Lord, that they can arrive here in a timely fashion, and then take our loved ones into the hospital. And we just pray that you would be with Sister Annie right now. Lord, we know it's difficult when you cannot communicate, when you cannot talk. Lord, it can be exasperating. But Lord, we just pray that you give her a real peace in her heart. Be with the doctors as they examine her and give them wisdom, Lord, to know exactly what is happening and what interventions need to be accomplished. Lord, we just pray for your wisdom there, your protection. And we just pray for your blessings on her. Lord, we pray that when this is all done, Lord, that if it be your will, that she might have returned back to the same level of function as she had before. We just ask your hand of protection on her now. Open our eyes as we dig into your word, as we look at, the area of thankfulness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're going to take a look at look at some examples of thankfulness. One is Christ Jesus himself. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25. Matthew 11:25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Doesn't it make you marvel at Jesus Christ? What does the Bible tell us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8? He is equal. That this mind being you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. He was equal with the Father. And yet, here he is, he's talking to the Father, and he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He didn't have that kind of a relationship that where it was condescending or where we are on par with each other, we are equal to each other, so therefore, you know, I don't need to thank you for anything. Here we've got the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, thanking his Father. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 and 27. And this is on the day when partaking of the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. I would have loved to have heard what he said when he gave thanks. But he gave thanks nonetheless as he partook of the juice and the bread. Take a look in the book of John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We'll read it at verse 11, but this is, of course, the feeding of the 5,000. And there was a lad in verse 9 that had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And in verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, and Jesus said, make the men sit down Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And we're told in the book of Matthew that those are just the men. And it says, besides women and children. So a large host of people. Verse 12, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. So, you know, here we've got the Son of God, and what does the scripture tell us? That Jesus Christ made everything. He made this world. He made the wheat. At the very beginning of the world, he made the different crops, which, of course, you know, reproduced. And at this time in history, you know, the bread that was made was from the wheat that he had created in the very beginning. So, but here he is, he's thanking God the Father for the food. John chapter 11, verse 41. John 11, 41. Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He was thankful. You know, we ought to be thankful that God hears our prayers. And maybe we are. Maybe we need to be more thankful. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Well, we also know that the heavenly host is engaged in thanking the Lord, singing praises to God. You know, I highly encourage everyone here, when we're singing, not to be kind of like, you know, but actually to engage in singing. Now, sometimes I fully understand. Sometimes the person doesn't know the song. Maybe they have a medical condition. Maybe they're not able to. Maybe they don't have the physical strength to do it. But when we have the ability, and it doesn't even have to be on tune. You don't have to worry about that. You know, some people say, well, I can't hold a tune in a bucket. Doesn't matter. What's the Bible say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I've been in some churches before. I remember this one church I was in, and there was a man that would come occasionally. He'd sit at the very back of the church, and boy, would he sing loud. But and fortunately for us, he sang on tune. Because the combination, singing loud, right? But man, just that enthusiasm, it affected the whole song service. So I really encourage everyone. This is practice time to show our thankfulness. This is practice time, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. The heavenly hosts. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. And the angel, and all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. The angels fell down on their faces and worshipped God. Think about us, who were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The angels were not redeemed by the blood of Christ. The inestimable value of the death of Christ on the cross was paid for our sins, not for the angels. And yet you see the angels worshiping, praising God. How much more us? Revelation chapter 11. And you know, the more we praise God, the less we focus on what we think is the troubles down here on earth. I'm just trying to think of that one song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yes, thank you. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious grace. The things of this earth will grow dim. So when we worship God, those things that we thought were such big and mighty and insurmountable, you know what? they're going to seem pretty small. Well, we see that praise is actually commanded. Take a look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. So praise is commanded. Be careful for nothing, meaning do not be tied up with cares and woes and worries. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We spend so much time in supplication, and supplication's good. We ought to bring people and circumstances before the Lord. It is good to examine ourselves and kind of catalog. Well, I mean, is the majority of my prayer asking for stuff for me, or am I looking for the needs of others? And we ought to pray for ourselves. Pray that God will mold us into His image. Give us wisdom, give us strength, give us faith, give us a right attitude with each other, all those types of things. But we ought to spend time in praise. You know, I really firmly believe that we don't do it enough, and we can't even really imagine what it's like to do it properly. I remember some years ago, my dad, when he first started that conference that we held here in May, that was originally started in Beaver Valley Baptist Church, he set a theme about praising God. That was the theme, praising God. And each pastor that came knew the theme ahead of time, but each pastor came and preached a totally unrelated message. And one guy said, the theme is this year is praising God, and that's really good. We ought to praise God. That's really not the focus of my message, though. So, he went a different direction. And we don't praise God enough. Show our thankfulness for what He has done. So we see it's commanded. We see it's a good thing. Take a look in Psalms chapter 92, verse 1. Psalms 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So part of worshiping God, praising God, is done when we sing. And that's why it's so important to really believe what you're singing. Sing it with all of your heart, with all your strength. I mean, if we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind, we need to sing like this will be the last time we're going to sing. And really sing with fervency. But then, of course, we worship God and praise God in our prayers to Him. We worship and praise Him when we talk to others. When we tell them about all that God has done for us. Not in a boastful way. Look what God's done for me. Look at this big boat I just picked up, or this Sea-Doo or whatever. But rather, when good things happen to us, we give back praise to God. We don't say, yeah, well, I worked really hard for this. But rather we say, God was good. God was good. He provided. So it's a good thing. Take a look at Psalms chapter 50. Who is it to be offered to? Well, I think the answer is obvious. And this verse, not only do we see who it's to be offered to, but again, it's commanded, which we looked at earlier. At Psalms 50, verse 14. Psalms 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. So back in this time and era, they would offer up, as in the previous verses, it speaks of bulls and the blood of goats. And there's a rhetorical question there. Will I eat the flesh of blood of bulls and drink the blood of goats? And we know that Scripture says that obedience is better than the fat of rams. So in those days, if they were doing it with the right intentions, they would offer up these offerings to God as a gift of thanksgiving. But even more so, God was looking for an obedient, contrite heart, is what he wanted. So praise is to be offered to God, the Father. It's also to be offered to Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Now, we don't pray specifically to Christ, but we pray in the name of Christ. We pray through him. You know, like the Holy Spirit takes our prayers from our spirit and channels them through Jesus Christ to the Father. Jesus Christ opened the door that would have been closed to our prayers, but he opened it. And now our prayers can go straight to the Father. But here's an interesting verse, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me for that account of me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And no doubt he was thankful that Jesus Christ met him on that road to Damascus in the first place. But he's talking here about being thankful that God put him into the ministry. So we're told that whatever we find to do, we're supposed to do it with all of our heart, do things heartily as unto the Lord. But as we do it, we should also do it thankful and say, "Lord, thank you that I have this opportunity to serve you." Just as the Apostle Paul was said here. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Praise is, thanksgiving should be offered, as we said, to God, to Christ, but also through Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans 1, 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." I thank my God through Jesus Christ. So it is through Jesus, through what he has done, through that open door that he has unbarred, that we make, we do our thanksgiving. You can take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, 17. "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So when you're doing a task, whatever it might be, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it for him. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We do it in private worship. Take a look at Daniel chapter 6. This was private, but also somewhat public in a sense, because Daniel was known to pray, and he would open his windows. You remember the story how Darius, he was tricked into signing a decree by these other presidents that worked with Daniel, that were under Daniel in authority, and they connived against Daniel, knowing that he prayed to God Almighty. They said to King Darius, "Let's make a rule that nobody can pray to any other god but unto you." And so he made that decree, and of course he realized later how wrong it was. So in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house
And his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times in a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. But don't you love his steadfastness? He was not going to let himself be cowed. I mean, we get the idea that he probably didn't even shutter a window. It wasn't an exhibition. But at the same time, he was saying, no, this is what I do. This is right. I'm going to give thanks unto God. So we have him giving thanks in private worship. We also do it in... Just pause there for a second. When we talk about private worship, you know, in the New Testament, in Matthew, it talks about when we pray to enter into our closet. And you might get the impression, you might say, well, does that mean I have to have a physical closet? No, we don't. We don't have to have a physical little closet that we burrow away into and pray. Although one can be very useful. I have an interest in time of cleaning this little room out and turning this into a prayer closet. It's a nice little space where anyone could go in and pray. But the sense is, in Matthew, is having the private time with God, the uninterrupted private time with God. And that's what Daniel was doing. Of course, they knew his habits, and they went and snuck up on him, and they saw that he was doing just what he always did. So we also give thanksgiving in public worship. Psalms chapter 35, verse 18. Psalms 35, verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. In the great congregation, I will praise thee among much people. You know, we do that in our services. And, you know, there are times when we give thanks, even when it's not, it's in its public way, but it's not in the context of a church service. When would that be? When you go to a restaurant, you know, we're not gonna be the kind of Christian that either ignores. Oh boy, you guys just went blurry. Took my glasses off. We're not gonna just be the kind of Christian that when we go into a public place, we stop praying in public, or we're not gonna be the kind that we're like, dear Lord, you know, and we use some sort of a ruse. No, at the same time, we're not going to necessarily stand up and say, okay, everyone around me, I'm gonna pray. Although, there may be a time when you're there with a group, and you're in a corner, in a McDonald's or wherever, and where you will do something like that. And it's not a pretentious sort of thing where you're trying to get brownie points and, hey, did you notice? But rather, you're doing what's right. When we go to the restaurant as a family, we always pray. We pray out loud. We pray quietly, but we do pray out loud, and we give thanks to God for what He has given us. There's no reason to be ashamed. I've had a few occasions. I've had people come up to me and say, "I was just so impressed that you prayed with your family over that meal," and you know, most likely they were Christians, but. You know what? There is nothing to be ashamed of. So in public thanksgiving. Another thing we're supposed to be thankful for is in everything, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know this passage. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Sorry, I'm in Timothy by mistake. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Some of you remember, I've given this illustration a couple times, but in the story of Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy, in a labor camp, suffering because they housed Jews during the Second World War. They were not Jewish themselves, but they housed Jews. And there in this camp, Betsy is asking Corey, her sister, to recount this passage. And then she says, you know what, we're doing something wrong. We haven't been giving thanks for everything. So then she's like, well, okay, so let's think of the things that we need to give thanks for. Well, let's give thanks for the fact that we were able to smuggle our Bible in here. That the guards didn't pat us down and find the Bible. We got that in. Let's give thanks for the fact that we are in a large room where we can witness to a lot of ladies. And so they went on. They had these things that they were thanking God for. And then Betsy says, I thank God for the fleas. And Corey says, no way. I'm not thanking God for the fleas. And Betsy says, that's what it says, does it not? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And so finally she says, she thanks God for the fleas, but in a begrudging sort of way. And if you remember the story, later on, she comes to realize that the reason why the guards would not come into their barracks was because of the fleas. So they had unbridled opportunity to give the gospel, because these guards would not come in. And if they had come in, they would have put a stop to it. But they didn't. And they had so much liberty because of the fleas. And so she then realized it was a life lesson for her to be thankful in everything. It's hard. It's not always easy, is it? When things break down or, you know, disaster strikes, it's not always easy to be thankful. But in everything. Another time to be thankful is upon the completion of great undertakings. Let's take a look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 31, and also verse 40. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. So these two companies of them to give thanks because of the completion of the wall. And then dropping down to verse 40. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and the half of the rulers with me. So they gave thanks for the completion of that great undertaking, the building of the wall around Jerusalem. We already looked at a couple passages in reference to giving thanks when we eat. And we see that over and over in Scripture, that they would give thanks before meals. Let's not be like the unsaved that just go into the food. Let us stop and pause and truly thank the Lord. And let it not be a prayer that's just kind of rote, you know, like, well, this is something we got to do. This is something we always do. But rather, let's actually be thankful and think about it and think, wow, look at this food. Now, I'm very thankful for the food that my wife makes. I find it, you know, very wholesome and nutritious. And I'm thankful that we have the supplies in this country to make this wholesome, nutritious food. Yes, I know I should be in there making more of it myself. But, I mean, think about it. You think about some of these nations where you have these long lineups to get into a grocery store, and there's hardly any food in the shelves, and people walk away with either nothing or very little of nutritional value. And I mean, the bounty that we have. I read a little news article about a university student who decided to borrow Danny's sort of phrase, go off grid. But in a different light. go off grid, and he quit buying food, and he ate out of dumpsters for a year. And it, I mean, it's very disgusting to my mind. But to imagine all the food that we throw out, all the food that is wasted, it just really, it shows the bounty that we have. Unfortunately, in such a bountiful land, a lot of people do not value the food and end up throwing it away. So we're to be thankful for the food that we have. We're to be thankful always. We're to be thankful at the remembrance of God's holiness. Take a look at Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We ought to meditate more on the holiness of God. Think on how sinless he is. I mean, that's so far from us. Because we live in a sin filled world. It impacts every aspect of our life. I mean, you think about even from a biological perspective, about the germs, the bugs, the bacteria that live everywhere, and you can't see them. And you think, oh yeah, my hands are clean. I've mentioned this before, but when I was in university, I did a swab on a doorknob, found 7 different types of bacteria and 1 fungus growing on it. I was a little disgusted. But, you know, just using that as an illustration, you see that in a world where we think we are so clean, yet there's these bugs. Well, spiritually speaking, there's all these... We have sin, and it impacts every aspect of our life. So, at the remembrance of his holiness, we thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Take a look at Psalms chapter 106. And you know, honestly, Psalms is such a good book to go to if your spirit is sort of flagging and you're feeling tired emotionally and spiritually and maybe a little on the blue side, a little sad and depressed or whatever. Psalms is such a book to go to. Because you see how David so often starts off saying, oh, Lord, my enemies have increased. They want to kill me. And at the end of the psalm, he's like, yeah, bring it on. I've got this God that's going to strike them down. So he recognizes God's power. So Psalms chapter 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's a phrase that we see over and over. His mercy endureth forever. And I'm forgetting which psalm it is, but there is one psalm in particular that it's repeated over and over. His mercy endureth forever. So we thank God for his goodness, for his mercy. In the next chapter, 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Maybe that's the psalm, I'm not sure. But anyway, 136. There we go, thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, verse 136:1, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Now, you know what that means. He's not giving credence to any man-made gods. He's pointing out that there is only one God, one true God. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To them who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. So over and over in this passage, every verse speaks of his mercy enduring forever. I'm so glad it doesn't stop. That it keeps going. Because, you know, we need it. You might think you don't, but I do. I need his mercy. We need to be thankful for the gift of Christ. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Who is that unspeakable gift? Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ, verse 13. So we give thanks unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of Christ. We give thanks for the deliverance through Christ from indwelling sin. Not a deliverance in the sense of a sinless perfection, because as much as we would want to be sinlessly perfect, we know it's not possible. I mean, the Apostle Paul himself said, those things that I want to do, I don't do. Those things that I shouldn't do, I do do. And, you know, this law on his members, that is this continual fight. And the Christian life is that. It is a fight against the world, the flesh, the devil. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It is a fight against that all the time. But yet, we still have deliverance. We still have power. Romans chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking of that law and his members. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we were delivered from indwelling sin through Jesus Christ. Romans 7:6 says, But now are we delivered from the law, that being dead we should be, wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letters, the letter of the law. In the earlier parts of chapter 6 of Romans, it talks about not having sin, not having dominion over us. So we're to be thankful that we are dead indeed unto sin, Romans 6:11, that we have deliverance through Jesus Christ. Yes, there is that war, that law, that war is about in us. And if we fall, we're supposed to get back up. We're not to have the sorrow of this world that just says, oh, I'm no good, I can't keep going. But rather we say, okay, yes, I fell. I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me for that. And we get back up and we keep moving in the forward direction. We ought to be thankful for victory over death and the grave. You think of the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the very end of the chapter, the second last verse. But thanks be unto God, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read the preceding verse, it's talking about, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. So we are to be thankful that we're not like those that have no hope. The grave does not scare us. It ought not to. We ought not to have any fear of dying, not any fear of the grave. As for the believer, what does the Bible say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's graduation day. And I'm going to try to be as faithful down here on earth and minister to people as best I can and raise my children the best I can. But when that day comes, I know that it will be of the Lord. And I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be sad that I didn't get a chance to spend more years on earth. I'll take it that it's his timing. I mean, not to say that a person might, you know, We see Hezekiah praying to God when God said, you're going to die. Hezekiah praying to God, and then God said, okay, well, I'll give you an extension. I'll give you a few more years. So we do see that, but when a person gets the nod from the Lord and the Lord says, it is your time, just like, you know, Brother Jessup, right? Brother Jessup, he fought that cancer for so long, and he did everything he could. And then there was that point in time when he said, it's my time to go. My departure is at hand. And he didn't fight it. He had such a testimony. Okay, well, some things to think about in regards to Thanksgiving, having a Thanksgiving spirit, being thankful in everything, being thankful to God through Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, being thankful to Jesus for all that he has done. Okay, well, let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you and just ask for your hand of protection on Sister Annie. Lord, we love her dearly. Lord, she has served you and served you well. Lord, we ask that if it be your will, if you see fit, Lord, that you would return her to good health without any deficits. We ask that if it be your will, Lord, that you might enable her to continue staying where she is, Lord, and that this would be something temporary, that she could resume and to her normal condition. But Lord, her life is in your hands, and Lord, we know that she's resigned to your will. We thank you for her testimony. We thank you for her faithfulness. We thank you that she has, like Dorcas and others in Scripture, has helped many, succored many, as your word says. Lord, we just pray you bless her. Give Brother Steve the right words to say, Lord, as he's talking to her, and the doctors the right wisdom as they deal with her. Lord, we pray that you help us to be a thankful people. We would not take things for granted. We would not think that we deserve anything. Lord, your word says that every gift, every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. Lord, we're told that we're not to think anything of ourselves, because it's you that are the bestower. Lord, help us to recognize that. Help us to show the love of Christ to others in a thankful way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.